Hello and welcome to episode 132 of Ready to Mosh. I'm Kev P, and alongside me is the happy to my birthday, it's Gem G.
Happy birthday.
Exactly.
To us. Nearly. Early Almost. Birthday, kind of.
Well, it's our 2-year anniversary episode. And we should say we actually forgot to mention that on the podcast.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we completely passed us by and I'd never thought about it. And it wasn't until today. So we're recording the intro and the outro the day after. It completely passed me by.
To be honest, I always forget my own birthday anyway, so it's nothing new to me.
Okay. Well, in this episode, we've got Adam and Simon from Dear Download. We've been on their show before and we've been trying to get them on ours. We've just not been able to find a time that kind of worked for us, really. But we managed to get something planned in, and we're talking all things kind of Download, really, I think, in this.
Yeah, mainly Download, a bit about their kind of musical background and all of that. But yeah, mainly just Download, because it's not that far away anyway, so it all ties in. And they are Download gurus, I guess.
Right, so here's the episode. Right, it's guest interview time again, and this week's a bit of a unusual one because it's people that we've actually spoken to. I've spoken to these guys a few times before. Jem, you've spoken to them before.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Adam and Simon from Dear Download Podcast. How are you doing, guys?
Hello. Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah,
awesome.
So, obviously, we've been fans of yours for a while. We've listened to the podcast for a number of years now.
Since the beginning,
pretty much, yeah.
Nice,
thank you.
And yeah, and we've obviously been on your podcast, and we've all been trying to get a date that works, and we've finally got around to getting you on ours. So I'm going to start off firstly, obviously you guys have been doing Dear Download for a few years, but before that, what were your kind of gateway bands that first got you into kind of metal?
Go on, Ed. You can answer that one first. Yeah, go on, mate.
There was a few. I remember one Christmas I got like 4 CDs. One was Billy Piper's Honey to the Bee. One was Offspring, Americana. It was two sort of rock albums and two pop albums in that. And so that was sort of one of my starting ways to get into it. But I always remember the song that got me into metal was Korn's Got the Life. I was around a friend's house and they had like a live video on, and Got the Life came on and I was like, it just blew me away.
And what about you, Simon?
It was a couple of things, really, I think. I'd say the main one was probably, main two would have been Metallica and Iron Maiden. My mum was dating this guy at the time who was really, really into metal. This would have probably been, I don't know, 95, I want to say. So I was, you know, I would have been probably 12 or 13 at that point. And he gave me a tape of Iron Maiden Live After Death. And I stuck that on and I was like, right, there's no turning back now. And then we went to a couple of CD shops and I bought the... So this would have been a bit later, like 96, 97. I bought the Memory Remains, Unforgiven 2 and Hero of the Day from Load and Reload on CD. So I would say, yeah, like the big two metal bands, Maiden and Metallica, were my gateway. And then obviously, yeah, down the line, there was other ones. Cradle of Filth was my gateway into more heavier, insane stuff. But yeah, the initial one, yeah, Maiden and Metallica, definitely.
Do you both still listen to the bands that kind of got you into it?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I still love Maiden and I still love Metallica, so I do.
I would say no. Not that there's anything against them. It's just not the kind of thing I put on anymore. Talking about sort of Offspring's Americana, although now thinking about it, I do want to go back and listen to it again. But... yeah, I think the other one might have been Papa Roach's album. That might have been a bit later, actually. But yeah, I would say probably not, but not because I don't like them anymore.
I just find it kind of strange because I do the same thing. Like, I don't like Guns N' Roses. Appetite for Destruction was kind of like my gateway. And I don't listen to Guns N' Roses anymore. unless it's on like a massive compilation on Spotify that I just hit shuffle on.
Yeah.
And the same kind of like with Metallica and Maiden. They were kind of like after Guns N' Roses. I don't really listen to them as much anymore either.
Right, Guns N' Roses, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard, I still go back to them.
Oh, I love all that stuff. Do you know what I find? I find the stuff that's the most embarrassing to go back to now is, and I don't want to diss it because it's probably one of my favourite periods of music, but a lot of stuff that came from the new metal era and stuff that I genuinely loved back in the day, I listen to now and I think, that is fucking terrible. it was a broad spectrum new metal. It was great, good, and a lot of it was terrible. But I listen back to some of it now and I'm like, oh my God, why was I listening to this? It's terrible.
If you asked me this question 3 years ago before we started the podcast, I would have said probably yes, absolutely. But since meeting Simon and doing the podcast, he's sort of been teaching me how to like newer bands. You know, there was a long time where all of my playlists would still have like the old new metals in and things I listened to growing up. And I would never get into new bands, not very often.
Yeah, I think since doing the podcast, we've got into a lot more new bands as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because we find so many underground bands, don't we?
Yeah, it kind of forces you to seek things out a bit more, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, natural when you do that, because you guys obviously want to keep up with stuff that's going on. So you're like, oh, we're going to have to listen to whoever's playing Download or whatever. And then you find yourself discovering a lot. Like in the last, since me and Adam were doing the podcast, I can't keep up with all the bands we keep discovering and going, oh man, they're awesome. They're awesome. Like we don't even have time to listen to all of them. That's how many there are.
No. Yeah. And do you know what? Yeah. I'm at the moment, we're listening to every band that's playing at Download. Well, I am anyway. Simon could probably do it on one listen through and go like, yeah, I know what they are. I'm going to write down my notes. I'm listening to probably all of the bands over sort of a six weeks period. And I don't have time to listen to any other stuff like this stuff that I would normally listen to.
We do the same thing, don't we? So we will cram in every single band at Download. We know we can skip bands like The Offspring because we know that Offspring. So yeah. It means we can eliminate chunks and then go, right, that's a bit more manageable now. Let's look at these ones we know nothing about.
Yeah, that is cooler. It's cool to discover new stuff, I think. And I had to drag Adam kicking and screaming. Trust me, he really, really didn't want to listen to anything new to begin with. But now he's telling me about bands, so it just tells you how good he's got it.
Yeah. Thanks to you.
So just looking back at last year then, what were your highlights of 2023?
I've got to remember that far back.
I know, they were a while off now, aren't we?
Jesus Christ.
Well, straight away, Anti-Saint was a good one. They opened the Dogtooth stage on the Saturday. You know, we both fell in love with them. We said about how much we liked them on the podcast. And we said we'd love to have them on. And they actually contacted us to say that we'd love to come on. And so we sort of became friends with them. They gave us T-shirts and plectrums and everything. And then we went to meet them and there was loads of people that listened to our podcast was all there, like in a big sea of pink Anti-Saint shirts. That was a really cool time, really cool memory.
Mm-hmm. I got a few from last year. I think obviously, I mean, Bring Me were probably one of the most memorable acts I've ever seen at Download. And, you know, this year will be number 15 for me and they still stand out. So they really impressed. I think Joey Valance and Bray surprised me about how amazing they were. Like I knew how good they were, but I didn't know how good they would be live. They were phenomenal. And I think the other one for me from last year is Ghost. I think Ghost proved that they could headline that festival. No problem. Yeah. Absolutely no problem.
Yeah. When we did that roundup, that was one of the things we kind of said it, didn't we? That last year felt like they were having Metallica twice was a missed opportunity instead of promoting somebody like Ghost to the main stage.
Yeah,
that's not to Ghost, you know, to Portway. You know, there were so many other bands that could have just taken a headline slot.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yeah. I think we spoke about that, but I think Metallica were only doing 2 days everywhere.
Yeah.
So it was either you get us for 2 days or you don't get us at all. Yeah, so yeah. Bit dread, actually. But yeah, it would have been great if it was Metallica, Ghost, Slipknot and Bring Me, because that is like a That's an incredible lineup that would have been.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. That was kind of like your highlights for last year. What are your kind of all-time download highlights? Because you guys have been going for a long time.
Yeah. I've got three or four. How many do you want to hear?
As many as you think it's a highlight.
Right. Shall I start? Yeah, shall I go first? Yes, I'm drinking. I'll have a go. I'll have a go at this one. Download 2007, Iron Maiden playing A Matter of Life and Death, A Matter of Life and Death tour. On the second stage, this was when it was in the old arena inside the track. And Dream Theater were headlining the second stage just before them. And I went to Dream Theater and then went to Iron Maiden after. It was an incredible, incredible set by Iron Maiden. I think I crowd surfed three times. I got ran out and then ran straight back into the middle again. At this point, I was quite drunk because while I was watching Dream Theater, I was drinking absinthe. So I don't remember a lot of Iron Maiden's set, but I just remember seeing when the tank came out and then Eddie's head popped out of the tank. That was just incredible.
Any others? You said you had three or four. That was just one.
Yeah. Well, yes. I was going to stop and see if you wanted to have a go.
Oh, do you want me to go and then you can think of another one?
Yeah, I'll think of another one.
Do you know what? 2007, I don't know why, but it was such a... It felt like a huge year because, like, it was the... We didn't know this at the time, but it was the last original Donington year where it was in the middle. So subconsciously, we all must have known that because... That one just felt like such a huge, even though it's not even my favorite download, I just mean performance wise, like Iron Maiden playing Children of the Damned, like being of such, like I said before, loving Live After Death and Children of the Damned being my favorite Maiden song. I'd never heard them. I've seen Maiden probably three or four times before and never heard them play that song. I literally just wanted to cry because I was so happy that they were playing it. Like, and it was an unbelievable version as well. You can find it on YouTube and it's just so good. And, seeing Linkin Park headline as well and seeing, you know, seeing them play all the new stuff from Minutes to Midnight was just like, I've never felt an energy in a crowd like that apart from Bring Me This Year would be the only thing I could sort of even give it a mention to. But yeah, Linkin Park 2007 was just fucking unreal. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. 2008 as well. That's when it was in a weird place. There was long walk to the arena, but where the village is now, or District X, is where they had the second stage, and then sort of down a little bit further was the main stage. It was a completely weird area, but Kiss were headlining the Saturday night, I think, and they had Simple Plan headlining the second stage, which was outside, I believe. And so I skipped over Kiss because I really, really loved Simple Plan, and it was such a small crowd. It was really intimate. I think I got quite close to the front for them. My memory says there was probably only about 1,000 people there. There was probably loads more. It's probably my memory.
Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah,
it could be more people than that, a Simple Plan. But maybe just because I was at the front, so I couldn't see all the people behind. You know,
were you drinking absinthe again that year?
No, I wasn't. But, you know, that is one of my only memories of 2008. I don't remember much else from the weekend. I don't remember... really much about the layout. I would absolutely love to find a map online, but I've been looking for I don't know, have we got one? I'm not sure if we've got one. Anyway, never mind. Yeah, I don't know why I don't remember much from that weekend, but yeah, Simple Plan really sticks out.
I'll just do one more, just because you've done one. I'm just going by performances. Like, I've had loads of great times in the campsites and everything. I think overall my favorite year for everything is probably either last year or 2009. But Slipknot 2000, I know people always bang on about it, but Slipknot 2009 was one of those pinch yourself, you have to look around and take this in moments where you're like, we're witnessing something now, which is just like, just immense. It was unreal, the energy that you could feel and the performance, and you know, people telling Andy Copping that Slipknot shouldn't headline and all that bollocks, and then they've headlined like six times now, but yeah, at that point people telling him that, and then I can't put into words what it was like witnessing that performance live. It was just like mind-blowing territory, I think.
you're right when you say about the energy. Like we, my group were really quite far back. There was probably 8 to 10 of us, and we all felt it at the same time. You know, we all got excited at the same time and was like hugging and jumping and shouting. It was a weird thing, but you are absolutely right.
Yeah, the Slipknot one's weird because I remember watching them the first time I saw them in 04, and they were arguably the band of the day. They were absolutely unbelievable. And like you say, when people spoke to Andy Coppin saying, what are they headlining for? It's like, have you ever seen Slipknot play live?
Yeah, I don't know who was saying this to him, but like he said it in a couple of interviews, and I'm like, who would have been saying this at the time to him? Like, fair enough, they were only like 3 albums in, which it seems quite early for someone to headline. But even then, you're thinking it's fucking Slipknot. Like, what is going on? So yeah, that is weird, isn't it?
Never thought about that. Very odd.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised nobody went for Pilot. Well, you were you there, Adam?
I wasn't there. No.
Yeah, Pilot was great.
Simon went. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that might have been up there because you would have been camping and looking over the stages.
Yeah, the Pilot sort of, they should do, I know this is probably wouldn't be viable for them to do, they should do a smaller download. They should do a download, and they should do a download. Yeah. Like, it felt like Bloodstock, but download branded. It was absolutely phenomenal in the same place, just like halved everything. I couldn't believe how amazing that they'd made it for people who put on such a big festival. They really should do some smaller, not even download, just do a smaller version of it. Don't even call it download, call it something else.
But they could call it something like Britload and just like download Pilot was, just have British bands there and support a lot of the British bands and just pull them through.
Yeah, that's a great, that'd be a great way, wouldn't it? To pull British bands through, to get British bands on the map, make a big deal of it, promote it as much as they promote Download, and then you could get all these bands up and coming. It's a good idea. We should pitch this to Andy and see what he says.
We might not put this bit out there, we'll keep it and put it on ourselves.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're coming up with like money-making schemes here.
Right, so as we speak, it's 7 weeks to go. Are you ready yet? Have you started preparing? Have you tested your tent yet?
No.
I haven't even got my tent out of the bat. I bought a brand new tent. I haven't even got it out yet.
It'll be fine. If it's brand new, you'll be fine. Don't worry.
No, because we made this mistake before. In 2010, me and my friend Leader bought a brand new tent. Got it there. Opened it. All the tent wasn't there. We had to buy another one at Download. So I never trust it now. I'll get it out in the garden. But because it's been so... I mean, it's been a horrible year, isn't it, so far? I only got out to cut the grass last week, so I haven't even had a chance to get the tent out. But I'm excited about that. I've gone away from the Sendero for the Euro Hike Rydell 500. Gone up in the world, I guess. Lost my sponsorship. but I haven't prepared. I haven't prepared at all. I haven't done anything yet at all.
No, me either.
You've just started, haven't you?
Yeah, I panic bought some pot noodles last week. Is there an offer in Tesco on Club Card at the moment? So we've got them and some mini cheddars, and that's it.
Nice. That's good.
So you normally go RIP, don't you?
Sorry?
You normally go RIP, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there different rules about camping stoves? Because I think there's a big thing about camping stove at the moment. You can't, obviously, can't have gas like you normally can. I think, haven't you got to have a license for those little white blocks, hexy stoves or something now?
Have you?
No, they're fine. The white hexy stuff's fine. You're not allowed gas anywhere on site.
Yeah.
Unless it's in a camper van and it's
proper fitted.
And it's been properly fitted by an engineer.
Okay.
Well, I hope I haven't seen a meme about the hexy stoves and I've just believed it and now it sounds like a knob.
I haven't seen anything about the hexy stoves.
Okay.
And the groups that we're in, nothing's come up.
Not spotted anything. I mean, we could have missed it. We've got one of those little gel ones. We don't use the hexy.
Okay.
I miss doing stoves and stuff. Although I snuck gas in probably for the last 9 years. So I just wrap it in a towel, put it in my bag. No one ever checks it. get out a little gas stove, start cooking. I didn't do it last year, but I might do it this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. With RIP, every vehicle that enters has sniffer dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Would they
wow.
Sniffing for what?
Yeah.
Sorry?
What? Sniffing for what?
Well, who knows? you can train them for lots of things. But yeah, when you pull into RIP, it's next to the Park Farm Hotel. And as you pull into the courtyard, you're broken into about 4 or 5 lanes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then everybody has to switch their engines off, and then they come up and down with the sniffer dogs.
Oh, my God. Mm. That's extreme.
Yeah, and then they'll do random checks on vehicles.
God, do you not remember? Actually, do you know what's really weird? Do you know, I was watching, I think I was watching TPD's vlog of like Download 2018. It just came on randomly. That in 2018, they were searching people like way more than any other year I've ever seen for some reason. In 2018, I remember everyone's bags got like patted down, people's cars got stopped and searched. But then after that, they just stopped doing it.
Was
the Manchester Arena bombing, I think.
Was that what it was?
It was that. Because, yeah.
Oh, maybe
like,
you're right.
Oh, like, police around, wasn't it?
Yeah. 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 Like massive guns. Like,
yeah. Do you know what? You might be right. I didn't even think of that, actually. That completely went out of my head. Like, you could be right. Mm. That's probably why. Because I was thinking, why? I remember, yeah, now everyone was being checked like crazy. And that's probably why. Because it was a big event.
That only happened, like, probably within a month of Download happening. So they were, like, massive on it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because of that.
That's answered a question now in my head. Thank you.
I have a question in my head for you and your listeners from Download.
Okay.
From Download 2011, I believe. I've said it on our show, but we got no response. So I was just stood there waiting for System of a Down to come on. And these people walked past us, and one of them said, "Why do sound guys like melons?" And I never heard the punchline. So, that's a question. I was a sound guy at the time as well, and I was like, I like melons, but I don't know why. If anybody knows the answer to that, or the punchline, sorry.
That's hurt my brain.
It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, that's a real thinker, dude.
It was just a little line of people, and one person said it to the guy in front of him, and I never heard the punchline. They'd gone by the time. He said it.
It'd be great to find this person and be like, can you tell me, please? You've been killing me for like 13 years.
Right. Sorry. Sorry to break the immersion there. Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. So coming forward to this download then, who are you looking forward to seeing?
Defects. For me, not Defects for Simon.
Who we keep banging on about? It's just
I love them. Absolutely love Defects.
Hold on. Who's playing again? There's a few. Like, it's stacked. It really is. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing Queens of the Stone Age. Never seen Queens of the Stone Age. I'm a big Queens of the Stone Age fan, and they've always been on my list of bands to see. So I'm like freaking out about that. Who else am I looking forward to? Pantera, obviously. It's just the bassist and the racist, but it's still the best we've got in 2024. Who else? Fear Factory, obviously.
Yeah.
Machina, Biscuit. I mean, it's stacked. There's actually loads of stuff on here. And I discovered the Callous Doughboys, which we listened to for the Friday. Yeah. And I have been listening to those guys on repeat for the last like week. So I've discovered a new band that I'm really looking forward to as well. So yeah, but there's going to be a lot of clashes on this one, I think.
Yeah.
I can see already looking at it, like to have Limp Bizkit, Machine Head, and possibly The Used all on at the same time literally makes me want to sit in a corner and cry, because that is fucking awful. Like, that's just not good.
Yeah, I mean, I will be heading straight for Limp Bizkit, because I've never seen Limp Bizkit. So I'm heading straight for that.
Yeah, totally understandable. They are incredible live. I'd be like, fair play, go for it. Ad?
Hello?
Yes. A few for me as well. I mean, we've only covered the Friday so far. So that's who I've been listening to the last couple of weeks. But yeah, looking at the other days, like you said, Machine Head, Limp Bizkit. I'm actually looking forward to Holding Absence. I do really like them. I know they played 2022, and Simon, you were really into them, and I'd not really got into them at that point. I think I might have gone to see them, but I wasn't that interested at the time. So yeah, it'd be good to see them.
Oh, yeah, great live. I'll be there with you.
Yeah.
Watching that, hopefully.
Yeah, there are some interesting kind of choices for this year as well. And there's some that are really kind of out there.
Busted.
Yeah. Busted. That's number one. I mean, I won't be going to watch Busted because when they're on anyway, I would be watching Mr. Bungle. So.
Oh, 100%. I was going to say, I missed out on Mr. Bungle. I still cannot fathom that they've got Mr. Bungle to play.
Yeah, like, that is, it's amazing. I can't believe they're going to play.
Yeah, I literally just going to be there with a smile on my face the whole time, just touching myself to Mike Patton. that's it, really.
I never really knew much about Mr. Bungle at all before we talked about it recently. We've had people in our Discord saying that the version of Mr. Bungle they are now is mostly thrash, so you won't get any of their weird shit, basically. So it's going to be thrash.
Yeah, the last album was basically a Slayer album.
Okay.
I mean, they've done, like, you know, they've done doo-wop albums, they've done weird shit, but the last one was basically just a full metal album, pretty much, with some weird stuff in there.
Right.
Adam, did you listen to Desert Search for Techno Allah, like I told you to?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I told him to listen to this really weird Mr. Bungle track, so he would just go, what on earth is this? But he hasn't listened to it.
Well, I again, on the Discord, Alexander posted in there this morning that he put it on, and he was like, I have no idea what's going on. So I will.
That's why it's so good they're going to be like playing Dana, because I do hope they play the metal stuff, but I do hope they play a few weird tracks as well, because otherwise...
I think they will. They're going to do, aren't they?
Mm. I hope so.
Notice none of us named any of the main headliners then.
I did. I said Queens.
Oh, did you? Oh, I missed that. I blanked them out. So it's like you're blocking my mind.
Well, it's interesting with the headliners. So I could have watched Queens of the Stone Age last year, but watched Elton John instead. And... I've seen Queens before, but I can't remember.
We saw them at Leeds Festival. Was it 2016?
Yeah, which was weird because it was a co-headline with Paramore.
Was it 2014? I can't remember.
It was either 14 or 16.
Yeah, one of the two.
Paramore and Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there could be odder bands together, but still, you wouldn't pick those two to co-headline, would you?
So, weird. So they co-headline one of the days, and it was amazing how many people, as soon as Queens finished, the main arena part just emptied.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, everybody just left. It was insane.
Wow.
And like Fall Out Boy, we've watched as well at Leeds.
That was at Leeds, yeah.
By accident. We were supposed to go. I was supposed to go and watch the DMAs. I can't remember who you were going to go and watch.
I was with you, I think. And
yeah, we got really, really drunk by mistake. And ended up watching Fall Out Boy, and I really don't like Fall Out Boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got really into it, having a nice time in a dance.
You got really into it.
Yeah. Well, I'll stay for one more, and then
is that still is that still the case? You still not like them, or have you come around to them a little bit?
Nah, still don't like them. Avenged Sevenfold, I'll be glad to see them again. Because I do, like, one of my highlights was watching Avenged Sevenfold, but being on the big wheel.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yeah, that's cool.
And as they were on, we were on that, weren't we? And Avenged Sevenfold were playing, and I was like, you know what? This is like a perfect moment. This is incredible. And they put on a really good show, and they were much better than I thought they'd be.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to them playing stuff. I know for a fact, well, they have been playing a lot of stuff from the new album, which I love because it's so weird. So yeah. I do love their stuff, but I'd be really interested to see if they play any of the weird stuff from the new album, because I think that would be a treat.
I would imagine they're going to probably do a mix. I think it's probably like 60% of the new album, and then obviously they're going to throw some classics in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. But I know they're doing G.O.D., which they've been doing on the tour off of the new album. So right at the end, the last sort of three tracks they've been doing to end the show,
yeah,
which is a really weird way to end it, because the last track's like a Frank Sinatra song, and that's how that's how the set's going to end. So God knows, it should be really good, I think.
It will be interesting.
Do you think they're going to close the other stages off this year? You know, based on the headliners we've got this year, they're not as established. So, you know, there's no Maiden there, there's no Slipknot there, there's no Metallica, there's the bands
I still think they'll give people the option of going to the Dogtooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still think that, you know, I'll be in the tent watching Fear Factory while Fallout Boy are on.
Yeah.
I still think that they'll give you that option. But the other ones, yeah, I think they'll be done before, I would have thought, so people could go. Especially like if you had Busted playing the same time as Queens, I wouldn't be surprised if Queens was half empty, because I know for a fact half the crowd's going to try and get into that tent for Busted. So
yeah, it's gone down really well, which I didn't think it would.
we said this on the show when we recorded last week, though. I mean, like, it's not as random as some of the other stuff on this lineup. It really, I mean, like, there's some other stuff on here that really doesn't belong. Like, Fallout Boy seems like it belongs compared to some of the other, like, real, real poppy stuff on this lineup.
Yeah. So, especially on the Friday, there's a lot of alternative pop bands, but because they're not as big, people aren't shouting about them.
Yeah, when you guys go through and listen, you'll be like, this is way more random than Busted. Like, yeah, Busted seems like Adam said, because it's a big name, everyone's going crazy, but there's definitely stuff on the lineup that doesn't belong half as much as Busted do. So,
yeah, well, I mean, what I'm looking forward to seeing on the Friday is, it's a bit of an early stop, but Those Damn Crows, seen them a few times now, and they're always amazing.
Yeah, me too. I hadn't really listened to them until a couple of weeks back, and I really, really liked what I listened to. So I'll try and go to see them, I think.
Shall we move on to the quickfire round?
No.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Talk more about Download, please.
We'll come back to Download.
Don't worry about that. That's all in the pipeline.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right, so first thing that comes in your head.
Okay.
What's your favourite venue, as in to watch a gig at?
Camden Underworld. Easy.
I haven't been to many. Exeter Cavern's always good.
See, not as difficult as you thought it would be, Adam.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be. I've only got a couple of possible answers for that one.
Which song do you wish you had written?
Wish I'd written? Oh, my God.
I wish I could play guitar like an absolute boss, so I'd wish I had written Watermelon and Easter Hay by Frank Zappa, which is my favourite guitar piece.
I did not see that coming.
I'm a big Zappa guy, yeah. It's a bit left field, but...
Party Hard by Andrew W.K. Yeah, I wish I'd written that. You know, he's
That's
sober.
That's so good. That's he's sober. So good.
I didn't
That's
know that.
That's so good.
Yeah.
What was the last meal that you cooked?
Oh, I did like sweet and sour noodles this evening.
Stir fry. Cooked a stir fry. It was banging.
Nice.
If you could be a biscuit, which biscuit would you be?
Jammy Dodger. Easy.
What part of being a biscuit are you looking for? Like?
No, just the best that comes to your head. That's
first
the point.
Thing that came to my head was the malted milk, the one with the little cow on. I like them.
Malted milk? You love a malted milk, don't you?
I like them, but I don't really know if I'd want to be one. I like them. Anyway.
Right, the most important question you will answer. What are your favourite crisps?
I knew you were going to do this.
Toffee.
coffee crisps.
Oh,
yes.
Clever answer.
No, I'm a, nice. No, I'm a knob. I'm a knob. Ignore that.
That's a great answer.
It's Doritos Chili Heatwave. It's one of my go-tos.
If I'm going for actual crisps, I would probably say McCoy's. I don't really know what flavour. Maybe salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar, of course.
Sturdy.
Classic. Crisp.
Who was the last band you watched live?
Ooh.
Why do I not remember this? What's the last gig I went
called?
To?
Were they on before Hacksaw or after?
What's the last show I went to?
Hacksaw. In but they're not a big band. They're like a two-piece punky old men band. They just do random songs. They're from Bath, and they do Bath City's song, football
song. Oh, right, really?
Yeah. They're great. I first watched them over 20 years ago, probably about 22 years ago in Bridgewater, where I'm from, and they have barely changed their set. They've added like two songs in that time.
Mine's The Used, which I went to with Adam.
That's a band I've never really got into.
No, I've never really got into them. I don't know why.
Oh, great. Really good. Really good.
If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Curry. No, I'm quite good at these, actually, aren't I? Curry, yes.
Okay, I would have that would have been one of my ones, but my other one would be spaghetti bolognese.
Both solid choices.
Mm. Nice.
Love a spag bol.
And final quickfire question. What was the last song you listened to?
Can I check my phone? It will still be on my phone.
Yeah, most people check their phones for this.
Flesh Into Gear, CKY.
So it's been nothing embarrassing.
Wow, it's going back still.
Ooh. Yeah, I've been big on... I've been listening... I've spent the last 2 days listening to him and CKY for some reason. But yeah.
A weird choice considering they're not a download.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know why. I just randomly... Yeah, it's been really weird. I just had a craving for CKY the other day. And then I thought, oh, I love him as well. I'm listening to some him tracks.
Mine was Fall Out Boy, Saturday.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go get drunk and, well, Fall Out Boy are on and not watch them this time.
Wow. We'll see.
Come on, watch Fear Factory.
Watch them again.
Fear Factory. Yeah.
I'll probably watch Fear Factory, actually. They're on at the same time. Try and get in that tent.
Yeah. Do it.
Right. So we're going to go back to the normal questions now.
Okay.
And as downloads evolved kind of like over the last 20 years, what do you kind of see as has been the biggest changes, either good or bad?
I could tell you a bad one. A bad one is... a lot of stuff for the festival has got a lot better. One thing about the festival has got increasingly worse, which is live coverage of the festival.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like in like 2005, 6, like, I mean, it was covered by, you know, Channel 4. It was covered by SCUS. You'd see it everywhere. Even you'd see it even all over YouTube back in the day. Now, I mean, as Andy said the other day, for the 20th anniversary of the festival, they had no live coverage.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean...
It's insane.
Joke. Yeah, it's a joke. That's definitely got worse and worse and worse, progressively worse.
Yeah.
But that's only real bad one I can think of. Ad, have you got one?
Well, I was going to add on to that, because you sort of alluded to it. But yeah, I asked him personally that question a couple of days ago. And yeah, he basically said rock and metal isn't as popular, even though it is.
Mainstream. So the mainstream, it's not as popular.
Yeah, they don't think it's as popular. Yet somebody else brought up a point that on TikTok, rock and metal was the second most popular music on TikTok last year or something like that. So it's just perceived as not as popular. But the people running these companies aren't the ones who... Well, we need to go and tell them, don't we? It is as popular. They're the ones making the decisions.
It comes in waves, you know. Like, I don't want to make myself sound old because I'm not old, but I've seen since I've been a fan of, you know, metal and alternative music, I've seen it go up, I've seen it go down, I've seen it go up again. We're just in a bit of a lull at the moment where it's not seen to be popular or as big as it should be. But give it a few years and it'll be, you know, huge, or it'll have more media attention or whatever. But we're just in a bit of a lull at the moment, and Downo just can't seem to... He said when we were there the other day, they just... The TV stations just don't want it. They just don't.
Yeah.
They don't see it as a draw. He said that was due to budget cuts that they had, so they had to drop Download. And apparently they dropped them so late that they couldn't organise anyone else to come in and cover it.
Jeez.
So I mean, to be fair, what are you supposed to do? But even then, for the last 4 or 5 years, coverage has been rubbish.
Yeah.
Basically nothing. Terrible, terrible coverage.
Only main stage bands, yeah. Not even full songs.
Rubbish.
But one of the things they could do, though, is they've actually done it before. I think it would have been around 2010, 2011, when Iron Maiden headlined. They live streamed it.
Yeah.
And you could watch it at home. I remember watching Maiden play live.
Yeah.
It's like, what, you know, the capability's more than there. Why not use it?
Probably because we're in a bit of a budget cutty kind of phase. I mean,
yeah,
you know, like you can tune into Hellfest. You can watch Hellfest as it's happening.
Yeah.
I was watching Bullet by Valentine in England as they were on stage in France. You should be able to do that with a festival as big as Download. But at the moment, I just don't think they have the funds to do it. They're just in a bit of a, not a bad place, because last year was so good, but you know, because of the economy and everything, they're just not having a very good time at the moment, I don't think. And they admitted to, they said, you know, this year isn't going to be half as big as last year was, not even close. It just won't be.
Mm. Yeah. One thing, going back to another thing you said earlier, Simon, as well, you said there's a bit of a lull, but the strange thing is the newest headliner for Download, which is Bring Me the Horizon from last year, they are massively mainstream. You know, maybe it might take a few years for that to sort of sink in. But before that, like bands like Linkin Park, who are headlining, were mainstream. We haven't had a headlining band that are mainstream for a while. So you'd be hoping that we were coming out of a lull, but it doesn't seem to be it at the moment.
No.
Do you miss the old layout?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a long walk to the arena now.
You could sit at your tent and legitimately hear the main stage like you were standing at it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how good it was and how close it was as well. But it's a bigger, better festival now. Mm. So, you know, the festival's grown since then. I bet if we actually went back in time, we probably would have thought it was considerably smaller than it is now. But that infield, though, I wish we could, even if we just had the campsites where they are now, we just had the festival on that infield. It's so sick. That would be amazing. But they've built loads of shit all over it now, so you can't.
Yeah. I remember the banked hill. And
yeah, there was just something special about it.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely had a vibe, didn't it?
So if you could pick any headliners for Download from bands kind of from the past, current bands, small bands on the way up, who would you pick?
Any band, you say?
Any bands.
Okay, I would pick... Right, I wouldn't pick this band to headline the main stage because I don't think they're everyone's cup of tea. But to have the Misfits headline the second stage at Download would literally be one of my dream gigs. And they're playing massive places now. They're the original bands back together in America. I see no reason why we can't have the Misfits over to headline the second stage. I mean, that is a money. That's just an easy win. To convince Glenn Danzig to do anything, I understand, is the difficult bit. But if you were to, that would be massive for me. Like, I'd love that.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice.
Mm.
We saw... Oh, my brain's gone to mush. Who did we see?
We saw Doyle.
Doyle.
Bloodstock.
We saw Doyle at Bloodstock.
And everyone was in the tent watching Machine Head, so there's hardly anyone there.
Oh, to be fair, as much of a giant Misfits fan I am, I was in the tent watching Machine Head. Can't say anything, really.
We had a great view for Doyle, yeah.
I bet. Yeah, he's great. He's great. He really is great. But yeah, seeing the original Misfits, that would be wow.
None of mine are going to be realistic like yours was, Simon, because it just won't. There's a band who I was really, really into called Machina Supremacy. Absolutely everything they did was amazing. And they've got enough stuff to be able to do like a 2-hour set. And it's really, really good. Another one would be Saliva. They've got enough stuff. They got like 8-9 albums. I've been into them my whole life. I've loved every album. It's not just like one of those bands where each album's hit and miss. Everyone has been amazing.
Can't think of any others. Saliva's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should definitely play at least like 100%.
Either Saliva, I don't mind, because there's two versions of them now. No, the original one with... my mind's gone blank now too. Bobby Amuru singing, because the new stuff is still really good with him.
I would say non-headliners. I'd love to see Head PE or Mushroom Head at Download. They've been probably two of my favourite bands for the last 20 years. And they've both never played Download before. And I'm not quite sure how that hasn't happened, because they play over here quite a lot. I've seen Head PE literally over 25 times within the last 20 years. For some reason, they just never get put on the Download lineup. And I'm not quite sure why that is. And probably the same with Mushroom Head as well. I'd love them to be not headlining, but just in there somewhere. That would be, yeah, fantastic.
With Mushroom Head, it's probably the Slipknot connection.
Yeah, yeah. Although, as Corey Taylor says to everyone, they get on quite well.
Yeah.
For some reason, everyone thinks that they hate each other, but he's like, I quite like them. They seem to like each other. I think a tour, just do a fucking Slipknot Mushroom Head tour. I mean, why did they not do that like 10, 15 years ago? People would have gone wild for that.
It would have been like Mushroom Head fans.
Yeah, Mushroom Head fans fighting Slipknot fans in the pit. Like, oh, it would have been great.
So, with Download, comparing it against other festivals, do you think it still represents value for money?
Yeah, I would say so.
I think now more than ever, I think. Because of District X, because of the extra stuff that we have now, like Download back in the day, don't get me wrong, it was a great festival, but by the time it hit 11 o'clock, it was dead. Unless you were in the, and that's why it was more mental as well, because everyone was in the campsites getting wasted, trashing stuff, setting fires. So it felt more wild. Whereas now there's more things to do in the evening. It's not quite as wild as it was, but there is definitely more entertainment on, and there's not just nothing after a certain time. Also, I feel like there's more bands that play now than back in the day. Like all the bands seem to be bigger than they were, even though it's more money. So I still think that Download is a really, even though all festivals are expensive, I feel like it's really good for the amount of money that you pay.
Yeah, I think you said to us before that you actually worked out how much it was. And was it less than £10 per band?
Yeah, there were, I can't remember what year it was. It was
a couple of years ago.
A few years ago now. And it kind of worked out like, £10-13 a band, because we'd seen like 36 bands over the weekend.
Yeah.
And it worked out at just that kind of money. It's like you can't pay that for a ticket anywhere.
No. But compared to other festivals, I wouldn't be able to say, because I've not done any others.
Well, but that's the thing. It's so like with the other festivals, you don't probably get the highest level that Download gets, because Download is the biggest, so therefore it's always going to have the biggest bands there. But it's like things like Bloodstock, where their equivalent of RIP, for instance, is less than half the price of Download's.
Really,
it's pretty much the same facilities, and the walk as well is like you literally walk out of the campsite, cross over a path, walk past a bar, walk out, and you're at the main stage. It's insane.
With the RIP, like all the options and stuff, it's hard to say, because you look at the prices of some of those and you think, really, that much money? Like, am I gonna get the best out of that? But Yeah, I don't know. Without doing them, we wouldn't know, would we, I guess?
Do you know if Bloodstock's ROP equivalent is run by VIP Nation as well?
No, they do it themselves.
They do it themselves. They've got like the pre-pitched stuff that I think another company, like the Tangerine Fields or something, that do other festivals run it. But yeah, it's their own kind of setup, I guess.
I think equivalent-wise, it is just as good, isn't it?
It is, but a lot cheaper, because I think
it's a lot cheaper, yeah.
For the RIP that we do, where you're putting your own tent up still, it's kind of the top end that we want to pay now, because it's just going up so much every year.
I think that's one of the problems with Downer. I think, I can't remember who said this. I think someone in an interview said this. It's people will pay whatever the price is. So unfortunately, the average person sometimes gets priced out because they're unwilling to pay $350 for a ticket. Someone's going to pay $350 for a ticket.
Yeah.
So the price is that's what the price is. But I think with things like the installment plan and that, I think they have tried to help people. Like, I've missed downloads back in the day because there was no installment scheme.
Mm.
You know, like at the time I was working a minimum wage job, and unless I saved up or someone bought me a ticket, I couldn't go. So I missed like 2011, 2012, because those were the 2 years where I had no money, but there was also no installment scheme.
Yeah.
So if there was an installment scheme, I would never have missed, you know, download 2011 and 2012. So I feel like they try to help you get the value that you can, but it doesn't always work, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like the RIP is the other end of the scale now, isn't it?
Mm.
From where it used to be. And like, I think the tickets, because what else they've started doing as well is the price throttling.
Mm. Yeah, so I was just thinking about that.
So when we got our tickets were in the first wave of the early release, and we got them within kind of like, must have been like 20 minutes of them going on sale.
Yeah, we were kind of straight on it. We were already home, but they'd gone up, what, £100 in an hour?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Yes.
I had that the other day with Story of the Year. I said on the last episode, you know, I'm really looking forward to Story of the Year. I've never, ever seen them. They've been one of my favourite bands for over 20 years. I was working when the tickets went on sale, so I couldn't get them. They were meant to be £44. When I looked later in the evening, it was double that. It was like £86.
Yeah.
I've seen them up as high as 98.
Oh, my God. That is disgraceful.
On Ticketmaster as well. That's not touts. Buying them and then reselling them higher. That's Ticketmaster doing that.
Yeah. Well, Ticketmaster's excuse is that they're doing it to stock touts, but all they're doing is just cutting out the touts and becoming the touts.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
It is worse.
Isn't it even worse getting it from the direct source that's the tout now? So much worse.
Well, the RIP tickets went from like 670 up to like, I've seen them at like 8 something. And it's like, how do you justify somebody who bought it at this time, somebody who bought it at that time? How do you justify like £150 increase just on that?
Yeah. Right.
They get away with it. It's really annoying they get away with it. You know, your fellow man who is trying to make a few extra, obviously bucks then, because they're saying, not bucks, but I don't have extra money. Okay, maybe it's unethical, but and frowned upon, but they're not like, you got the big stakeholders, the shareholders making all the money and they get away with it, you know?
It is kind of horrible.
I think we're going to see it a lot more often as well coming up. There was a food company in America, I think it might be in Wendy's, and they announced that they were going to be doing surge pricing, they were calling it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Peak time, prices go up. And they've now gone back on it, but there'll be companies that will do it like quietly in the background, and it works. And so they keep
becoming the norm. I was just going to say it's horrible to be standing at a gig next to someone, and one person played £127 for the ticket, and the other person played £60.
Yeah,
for two seats that are right next to each other. That is absolutely that's a disgrace.
Yeah.
Mental.
We got a similar thing in work as well, you know, because I've been there for 12 years. The new starters coming in, they're on a lot less money and get less benefit doing exactly the same job, and we're leaving because of it. Like, you wouldn't want to do the same job as someone, they're getting paid more. I don't know how many industries that's probably been standard in for a long time, but yeah, for us, it's a new thing to me, and it's just ridiculous. It's disgusting.
Right, so we just wanted to talk a bit about the download press day. So I did watch Simon's video this morning, so I've seen a bit of what you were up to there. And obviously you may want to share or save some stuff for your own show, but do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah, absolutely awesome.
Actually, talking of money, we got free coffee and free food. We didn't eat it. But
yeah, we didn't eat any food.
The first sip of that coffee to get something free from download was just unreal.
And did you get free liquid death as well?
Yes.
Yeah, although we didn't take any with us, so I didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't take any with me. I drank like half a can and put it on the bar.
I had one. They had them on the seats when you walked in, and I picked it up and I was like, oh, free liquid death. And I left it. I didn't even think to take it with me. And then I got moaned at by Vicky because she's like, why don't you get loads of free liquid death? I was like, I know. It was like stacks of it. I should have grabbed those. I'll say on here, and hopefully we don't get bad for it. I did steal something from there.
Oh, what did you do?
I'll show it to you.
You gonna show it?
Oh, yes.
It was on the side, and I was like, well, that's mine.
Yeah.
Bye. And then Adam said that these two chefs came out and he reckoned they were looking for it.
I'm not very good at breaking the rules, so it was probably me just being paranoid because he had literally just taken it. But I was like, are they looking for that? Let's just, it wasn't me that took it. I'm not just stand here and do nothing. I don't know how much detail you want to go into. But literally we found out, we got an email back in December. I was waiting on an email, quite an important one, and I sort of opened it and I was like, this isn't the email I was waiting for, but this is way more cool. We've been invited to a press event. I'd never heard from this guy before. We had no idea how we got onto his list of people to email. They were quite excited for a little while about it. And we turned up. It was maximum of about 30 people in a room with the organizers. And it was just so cool. Like, I don't know how much more detail you want me to go into. That was like the beginning part. But yeah, they talked. There was a panel. Sophie Kay had like sort of hosted a panel with. So there was the four organizers. I thought there was a fifth person in the booking team, but there's only four of them there.
Yeah, maybe they weren't there.
Yeah, but there's also Jess Shields, who's now working for them, doing the parking and everything. And another man who I can't remember his name and I don't remember what he does. We just sat there listening to the panel. They were talking about, like I said, the parking, the things that went wrong last year. So there were stakeholders there as well. That there weren't many other, the BBC were there. There weren't many other people that do the kind of thing we do. We didn't know at the time. We were like, is it going to be a massive room full of like YouTubers and podcasters and stuff? But yeah, it was really, really cool.
It was
really
quite
special
spoff
to be there.
Yeah, but it felt more like a social thing, to be honest, because like we were just there, you know, chatting to people that from the industry or people that we knew already from the download team. So it felt more like, even though there was a panel and that, but then afterwards everyone was just sort of walking around, mingling, talking to each other. I guess just like, yeah, trying to connect with people within the same industry, really. So, it was great. It was awesome to be invited. But they didn't really give us that much information, to be honest. Like, it was cool to go there and to get them to speak about stuff, but we didn't really get any, like, hot takes that people don't already know. I think that this year is going to be very similar to last year, both in setup and the way it's going to run, obviously apart from the extra day.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get in a lot easier this time.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the main complaints, was about the parking. And they were saying that one of the main reasons they think it was so bad is because there was one arrival day rather than two. Yeah. So everyone turned up on the same day, whereas normally
it was always going to happen.
Yeah. Like, and they said, like, there's, it's a festival where you have like 60,000-70,000 people turning up. There's only so much you can do to stop that being a bottleneck. But I think obviously last year was a really bad year for it. So they were just talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that, sorry, I didn't mean to cut in then.
Go for
on
it. That,
they don't really need to do anything for the parking this year. It will run like normal. It'll be fine. But because it was so many big complaints about it, it was such a massive thing in the news, they have to be seen to be doing something. So they've got this new company in to run it. And I mean, yeah, it should work fine. But one of the other main things was access was apparently absolutely awful. You know, people were being told to go in. There was like A, B and C areas. People were saying, being told to go to camp in C, and there was no room in C, and it was meant to be really, really bad. So they have actually got another company in to deal with access as well.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a lot smoother this year.
Yeah,
the way that we come in, we always have the nightmare that we have to get onto the main road. We have to, instead of just turning right at the lights, we have to turn left to go around the roundabout to come back. To go past the main entrance and just keep going and keep going and keep going.
Yeah.
Till you eventually see the signs for RIP.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try their best to make it. But like they said, it ain't going to be half as big this year. So I reckon that last year was just a one-off, I think. It'll go back to normal, I reckon. Some years you turn up and you're like, it's not even busy.
Yeah.
Like, what on earth? Is there a festival happening? And then other years you turn up and you're like, it's just constant traffic. I don't understand why that happens.
Well, it's like on a normal day, it's, what, 35, 40 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much.
From where we live to get to download?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah, so we could do the airport in that time. So we usually fly from East Midlands if we go anywhere. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we're like 40 minutes away. And last year, how long did it take to get in?
3 hours.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Oh my God, coming from 40 minutes away as well. That's a joke.
Yeah. The first half hour was fine. And then we just sat for like 2.5 hours, pretty much crawling.
I think it was worse though. It sounded like it was worse from everyone coming from the north. And they were making all the south people go round to that car park.
Yeah.
Where we came from the west and we didn't get it half as bad as everyone on that side. So you might want to try and do a sneaky. Go round and try and
we've
get
actually
west
looked
car
at
park.
Alternate routes.
Yeah. Honestly, go for the west car park because it really wasn't that bad.
We did that, didn't we? We so whoever was at the front of the convoy took a wrong turn, and it was actually a really nice drive after that. And there was nobody going that way.
Yeah. Go towards the west car park.
I remember saying, and I've just remembered. So I'm glad we're talking about this. I said I was going to look up the route we did last year and make a point of it and make sure we go that way again this year.
Yeah.
Deliberately.
The thing for us, once you clear the traffic, which car park is it?
I can't remember which one it is. I think it's not the west one, the other one. South? I don't know.
Yeah. It's essentially once you clear the front of Donington Park, once you get past that bit, the traffic just moves. And
yeah.
You only have to drive kind of like 5 minutes and then you're into RIP.
Yeah.
But it's the bit in between from where we come past the airport and get into that bit. You just get stuck for a ridiculous amount of times.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to be as bad this year, like half as bad. But you never know.
It's not 3 hours.
Saying that, I was going to say we're all going to turn up and be waiting there for 3 hours now.
Yeah. Right. So... you've got download obviously booked in. You're ready for that. What else have you kind of got planned for this year? Are you thinking about any other festivals or any other gigs?
You want to go first, Simon?
Yes. I'm going to give Slam Dunk another chance.
Oh.
Ooh, interesting.
So that should be really, really interesting one. I was talking to actually Jenny and Danica from the download team about this because I said, oh, you guys going to go Slam Dunk? They're like, yeah, we go every year. I'm like, I'm going to give them another chance. I'm going to give them a chance to redeem themselves. So I'm going to give Slam Dunk another go, see how that is. I'm going to do Thursday to Saturday of Bloodstock because I got Korn tickets for the Sunday in London.
Yeah.
So we're going to do Bloodstock, stay over at my friend Alex's, then drive to London for Korn. So that should be an interesting weekend. And I got Trees tickets as well. So doing 2000 Trees in July. And I really, really want to do Damnation Festival. I think that's in November.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Is that November, October?
I think it's November.
November, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Cradle of Filth and Bleeding Through are legitimately two of my favorite bands. So I'm like, I'm there. I'm there. It's just simple. It's just happening. So yeah, I got a lot planned. So yeah, all that stuff for me.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in there. 2000 Trees looks good. Slam Dunk, I thought the lineup just looked really disappointing this year.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying that.
Yeah, there's not much on there for me, if I'm honest. But I want to experience the festival again. So,
yeah, but me, nothing other than download. I've said before, I got a couple of fairly young kids, and you know, one of them's in school now. The other one's starting school in September. You get like 13 weeks of school holidays in a year. Me and my partner have like 10 weeks of holiday between us. So there's not even enough to cover every week that the kids aren't in school.
Yeah.
That's even if we can get all of the weeks that we want off. You know, I'm not guaranteed to get any week off, not even download. You know, it depends on who's in the book first, etc. So, yes, I have to use all of my holiday for school holidays. So I can't go to anything else.
So you've got a little bit of time yet before you just get to do download and then do Bloodstock and then...
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you will go mental when you get to that point where you can just go, actually, I don't have to worry about school holidays anymore. You are just you're going to do so many festivals and burn out in the first year.
Sounds like a midlife crisis.
Yeah, he's gonna go to every single festival. Every weekend's going to be a festival. You are.
Final question then. If you could give one piece of advice to a download newbie who's never been before, what would it be?
Drink heavy and fall over.
Don't buy a single skin tent. That would be
a
good bit of advice, I think. Yeah.
Is that is this based on personal experience?
100%. Because a single skin tent, right? If it's wet, the rain comes in. If it's hot, the condensation comes in. And if it's hot, it's too hot. And if it's cold, you're freezing. So there's no middle ground with a single skin tent. You can't escape anything. So always go for one that's got a lining in it.
I'm not surprised yours is tent-based.
Yeah, probably, so
I know two names of tents. No, I don't. I know one, which is a Sendero 4, which I know because of Simon. I've heard the name of his new tent, but I don't remember it yet. I'm sure he'll drum it into me. I've got the Powerman 5000 tent. Whatever it is, I don't know. I'll learn it.
I'll be honest, I only know the name of two tents. Sendero's one of them.
Yeah.
And the other one is the Airbeam that we've got.
Yeah, still, that's more than most general people would know, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely recommend getting an Airbeam tent.
I would, but they are heavy. So if you've got a long way to carry it, that's the downside to the fact it goes up in 5 minutes. So
yeah, they look cool though. They look really, really cool.
Yeah, they're incredibly strong as well. There's no poles to snap, so it doesn't matter how high the winds get. It's just not going to do any damage.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah,
yes, can.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. No. What do you mean? Go away. Can I just answer a question you asked earlier? I never got round to answering it. When you said, what do I miss, or what do we miss about the old download? And one thing I've noticed over the years is that there's not as many of like the trick stalls where you get like Diablo and Poi and juggling stuff. There used to be loads of stalls selling that kind of stuff. And I saw one person doing it last year and I just stood there mesmerized, because you don't see it anymore at download, but you used to see people doing it all the time, and I do miss that.
It feels like that's one of the things that Live Nation kind of phased out. You know, we had the NXT for years, and that just disappeared and never came back. And there were so many other little things that used to happen that just don't anymore.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed that they got rid of the wrestling, to be honest, because I thought that was like a huge hit, because you know, a lot of alternative fans like wrestling. I thought that was like, talk about two things going hand in hand together. It was perfect. Gutted they don't do that now.
Yeah, it would have been good to get that back.
Yeah.
Right, so thank you for coming on, Adam and Simon. It's been an absolute pleasure as always.
Thank you very much for having us. It was great to talk to you guys. Love it.
Really cool to come on your show.
And yeah, hopefully we'll back catch up in person at Download this year.
100%.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. It's on.
Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to that episode. I'm pretty sure most people listening will already be familiar with Dear Download podcast, but if you're not, go check them out on their socials. They're just, well, search for Dear Download in all the usual places, and obviously check out their podcast as well. In addition to all of that, there is Simon's YouTube channel with loads of great vlogs on there and other kind of festival of music content. So search for Simon Bond on YouTube to find all of that. And if you want to check our socials out, which of course you do, we're on Instagram, Twitter, and Threads at Ready to Mosh Cast, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok at Ready to Mosh. And don't forget that we are now also on Patreon for the bargain price of £3 a month. You get to listen to all of the bloopers that don't make it into the show. You get to find out in advance what is coming up for the next month, and early episode access wherever we can make that possible for you. So, yep, go check that out as well, please. Thank you. And if you want to support the podcast for free, then just please leave us a lovely review, a 5-star rating on wherever you are listening to us. That would be absolutely wonderful. And we will be back again soon with another episode. Happy birthday, Moog.